As Charles said earlier, I hope that you will stay and listen. In just an hour from now, our children will be sharing with us the Christmas story in music, etc. And so I was listening to their practice yesterday, and I'm just saying they really sound pretty good. And so I'd encourage you to, after our service here is over in just a little bit, have a snack in the fellowship hall and then listen to the children in their play and presentation and singing at 10:30. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, we do thank you for this Christmas season. It's just a reminder of life, and it's a reminder of love and grace. And so, Father, as we have gathered here this morning, we just want to celebrate all of that, life and love and grace and the beauty of new birth. And I just pray, Heavenly Father, that your Spirit would guide us this morning as we continue our worship of you. And as we celebrate with our kids program in just a little while, I just pray that your will would be done and joy would fill this place, the joy of Jesus. And I do pray, Father, that as other churches gather in our region, in our state, in our nation, around the globe, and celebrate Christmas, I pray, Heavenly Father, that people would taste of that joy, would receive the gift, and know Christ as Lord. I just pray, Lord God, that you would lead us by your Spirit, even now as we take a look at the Scriptures that reminds us again of this Christmas story just a little bit. Speak to our ears as we have come to worship you. And Lord, we do lift up those that are hurting. There's so many hurting from so many things, death and cancers and surgeries and obstacles and just failing health, so many things. I just pray that you would encourage them, that you would strengthen them, that you would help them to know and feel peace. And so we lift them up to you today. Some are here this morning. Some are in our community. Some are in other churches. Some are just all over that are struggling. And we just want to lift them up to you today and say, watch over them, we pray. Guide us now as we look at Scripture a little while, Lord. We pray and ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so those of you that were with us last week know that we talked about why come as a baby. And I told you that today we're going to talk about why come to the shepherds. So we're going to do that. You can turn to Luke chapter 2. Most of you know this Christmas story very well. Luke chapter 2, we'll be picking it up at verse 8. And next week we will talk about why the Magi, why the wise men. But first, today, why come to the shepherds? And so if you've got your Bible, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. We know the story, but this is the season and it's time to retell and revisit the story. Here we go, Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Anybody that has read Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 2, you know that Mary and Joseph have already gotten to Bethlehem. You know the prophetic messages from the angels in Luke chapter 1. Mary and Joseph are there for to be registered so the Roman government can do their proper taxing. Okay, so the night has arrived, and Luke describes to us in detail here, in that country, that region around Bethlehem, there were shepherds keeping watch over their sheep that night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord, the Bible says, shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. The old King James, a lot of you cut your teeth on the King James Version, said they were sore afraid, whatever that means. They were greatly afraid. They were terrified because all of a sudden they're in the blackness of night tending their sheep. The sheep are bedded down for the night, and boom, the glory of the Lord shines around about them, and there's an angel speaking to them. And the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And then he elaborates on what this great joy is. He says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David, they knew that to be Bethlehem, just a short distance away, a Savior. Now, I don't know how learned the shepherds were. As a matter of fact, I was reading about shepherds, and I'll read some of that to you in a minute, this last few days. Probably, for the most part, most of the shepherds were not that educated. Now, did they have a chance to sit in the synagogues and learn? I suspect they knew enough about the Old Testament to know that there was going to be a Messiah coming someday. And so when this angel said to them, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, even to the shepherds that meant something. Who is Christ? Christ means Messiah. And so the angel said to them, and this will be a sign to you. You will find this babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. He'd already told them in Bethlehem. Now you would think if the Messiah was coming, if the Savior was coming, he might be, of course they didn't have hospitals, you'd be in a fancy place, a fancy hotel or something, but not this babe. And I think this humility of where he was lying, where the shepherds would find him, is kind of why we see this whole theme, why the message to the shepherds. And so the angel said to them, you will find him lying in a manger down in Bethlehem. And suddenly, the Bible says, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men. So there you have it. The shepherds tending their sheep at night there. They would have been bedded down. They would have been tucked in, so to speak, for the night. And this heavenly host about them, giving them this wonderful announcement, this heavenly announcement. The Bible says, so it was in verse 15, when the angels had gone away from them back into heaven, that the shepherds said to each other, let us now go to Bethlehem, and let us see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. They knew this message was of God. And the Bible says, and they came with haste. Okay, it's time to leave the sheep behind. I don't know if they left shepherds there to tend them or not. But this message was so important, the Bible says they came with haste. In other words, they decided right now it's time to go. And they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. In other words, they didn't keep quiet about this heavenly news. When they had seen it with their own eyes, they made widely known what the angels had told them and what they had seen and what they had experienced. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, that would be back to their sheep, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. Why come to the shepherds? After all, in those days, who listened to shepherds anyway? I don't mean any disrespect to shepherds of nowadays. My dad happens to have been a shepherd for about the last 73 years. And I know plenty of shepherds, and shepherd men shepherds and women shepherds. But in that day, the question would be asked, who listens to shepherds anyway? Typically uneducated, typically on the lower rung of the social and the economic ladder. As a matter of fact, I read in one commentary regarding shepherds of the day, if there was a court of law that was taking place at that time and they needed witnesses, they wouldn't look for shepherds for witnesses. But I think that has something to do with this whole humility, God-man thing. Stable, laying in a manger, shepherds. So why the shepherds? When the most important message of humanity was delivered from the heavenlies to earth, this most important message, it says, for there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. There wouldn't ever be a more important message. Why did it not come to the high priest? Why did it not come to the Sanhedrin? Why did it not come to the synagogue teachers? Why did it not come to the scribes who were meticulous in writing out every detail of the Old Testament? They would have known better than anybody else about the Messiah and the virgin birth. And Isaiah's word, we looked at it last week from chapter 9, for unto you this day, for there, I had it and I lost it. There will be a son born to you. Why didn't they come to the scribes who would have known all of these details? Let me offer up some suggestions, some that come from others and then some of my own. Billy Graham, Evangelistic Association, states it this way. There was a reason, however, Jesus was announced to the shepherds. They were humble men. In fact, shepherds were by many people looked down upon. That's my point. Why come to the shepherds? But Jesus Christ came for all people, rich, poor, black and white, male and female, educated and non. By announcing Jesus' birth to the shepherds, God was demonstrating his love for all people, every one of us. The Bible says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And so according to the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association commentary, Jesus came to these humble people to show the love for all people. Sometimes, I suppose, in the church houses of America and perhaps around the world, we think that, well, we've got it all going on because we're in the church or this or that or the other thing. But I believe there is a point to be recognized here. He came for all people, even those people that the society would have considered lower class. That's good news for us, by the way. From the files of Christianity Today, these words about the message to the shepherds. The saying of James, writer James, should come into our mind as we read these words. James 2:5 says, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? So James reminds us some years later, this is the brother of Jesus, by the way, half brother. He reminds us, hasn't God chosen the poor? The poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in their faith. The shepherds would fit that category. That commentary continues, the lack of money precludes no one from spiritual privilege. The things of God's kingdom are often hidden from the great and the noble, and they are revealed to the poor. The busy labor of the hands need not prevent someone from being favored with special visit from God. After all, we know the story in the Old Testament. Moses was tending sheep. Gideon was threshing wheat. Elisha was plowing behind oxen, and they all were honored by direct calls and revelations from God. And to close in the Christianity Today file, let us resist the suggestion of Satan that religion is not for the working man. The weak of the world are often called before the mighty. The last ones shall be first, Jesus said after all, and the first shall be last. And from one other commentary, somewhere deep in Jewish tradition, revealed in the writings called the Mishnah, some of you know about the Mishnah, that's ancient Jewish writings from way back, Somewhere deep in the Jewish traditions that is spelled out in the Mishnah, there was this belief that had arisen that the Messiah would be revealed from the, this is the Jewish term, Migdal Eder, meaning the tower of the flock, which was an actual tower. This tower stood close to Bethlehem on the road to Jerusalem, and the sheep that pastured in and around Bethlehem were not the type used for shearing and ordinary purposes. These shepherds working there, in fact, took care of the temple flocks, the sheep meant for sacrifice. We can trust that God had a specific purpose for this shepherd audience, and the work they performed suggests the reason. These men who watched the sheep meant for the slaughter, these were ones that were going to the feast for slaughter, received this divine message about the ultimate Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world through the death and his resurrection. That's according to the Life and Times of Jesus the Messiah by Alfred Erdesheim. So we've got these differing thoughts. All of them make sense. All of them point to the reason that God sent the message to the shepherds. Now, may I add one on my own? This comes from Revelation chapter 3. You know this story very well. You've read it a lot of times. You're familiar with the seven letters to the churches that Jesus said to John, write to the church. May I offer one more suggestion from Revelation 3, beginning at verse 14. This is to the angel at the church of Laodicea. You know this story. Let me remind us what it says. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, Jesus giving this message to the church. The beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now listen to 17 and think about Sanhedrin, high priests, Jewish leaders, scribes, people of the day of Jesus. Yes, this is written 90 years after Jesus was born. It's written to a church in Laodicea. But think of the atmosphere then when Jesus was born, when Jesus had John write this letter, and even today. Here's what it says in the last verse. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And really, he says, do you not know that you are really wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked? To the church of Laodicea. As I read this and as I ponder, why didn't he come to the religious elite? Could it be that the religious leaders of the day, synagogue teachers, Sanhedrin, Jewish people, whatever else, had their minds so made up what the Messiah should be, what the Messiah should look like, what the Messiah should do for them? Could it be that they had their minds so made up that they would have not believed that the angels would have brought them the message in the first place? Is it possible, as I think through this story, and I wonder myself about why the shepherds, why the message to these humble men, is it possible that God, by his angels, went to Mary, went to the shepherds, instills in the Magi because they were the most unlikely in human terms to receive this kind of gift. You see, in human terms, the religious leaders would have been thinking, we will be the ones that know. We will get the message and we will tell you about it. Could it be that God saw in these people a teenager, a very, very young lady, sheep herders, the lower guys on the economic rung of the ladder, and eventually these wise men? Could it be that God saw in these people, not lukewarm people, but people that would genuinely be ready to receive the heavenly news? unbelievable news as it may be, could it be that God could see, as Jesus would come in his humble form, he would share this wonderful message with humble people? Now listen to me a minute while I try to pull this all together. Could it be that the religious elite of the day, who should have been the learned people with the expectation that I should get the message first, I should understand when he comes to me and I can pass it on, could it be that the religious elite of the day were too busy with their own schedules to really even know or care about the announcement? You say, Jim, that's a little harsh. Listen to me. We get so wrapped up in our own agendas, our own mission. Sometimes we're too busy for God to use us. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in the things of the day, we're too busy to hear the voice of God. And I know that may sound harsh, but consider for a moment 33 years from now. You remember the scene. We call it the crucifixion. 33 years from now, some of these same religious people, leaders in the church of the day, after Pilate had tried on numerous occasions to say, I don't see anything wrong with him, and I surely don't see a reason to crucify him. And they say, they're shouting, crucify him. Pilate tries to let him go and says, and he says, shall I crucify your king? Do you remember their reply? We have no king but Caesar. Could it be that we, even in the religious community, get all wrapped up in religion and denominations, and we forget about the beauty and the humility of this gift that came to us from heaven to a manger? We miss it because we're too busy and too wrapped up in our own stuff, in our own world. Could it be that today even people are so preoccupied with life and what we think Jesus should be that we miss him as Emmanuel? We miss him completely as Messiah. Could it be that he came to shepherds, humble people, with a message of humility? God leaving the throne rooms of glory to be born a human baby and laid in a manger. Could it be he used precisely the best candidates for the message to receive the message and go and pass on to those that they had heard and seen the good news? I said last week, friends, if you were here, you heard this. The shepherds had to decide right there on the spot, what will I do with this good news? They decided, and the Bible says they went with haste to Bethlehem and wanted to see the king and then made it known to others. Friends, at some point, I said this last week, I'll say it again today, and I'll say it again next week. At some point, we have to decide what we're going to do with Jesus. I'm not talking about saying, yeah, he's a pretty good old boy from back there sometime. I'm not talking about saying, yes, Jim, I believe in God. I am saying at some point, according to the gospel, according to the good news, according to the word of God, we too have to decide, what will I do with Jesus? Is he Lord? I mentioned this to us last week. I'll repeat it from Josh McDowell, who repeated it from C.S. Lewis. Is he liar? Is he lunatic? Or is he Lord? You see, at some point we have to decide. We can't just float through life, brothers and sisters, assuming I'm a good person, I've been good to the neighbors, and I should be good to go. It doesn't work that way. At some point, we have to decide what to do with Jesus. He was sent from the heavenly throne to a humble little place. This little depiction here, kind of a scene that reminds us, although it's kind of probably not accurate completely because the wise men didn't get there at the same time, but nonetheless, this little scene reminds us the majesty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords left all of that in humility and came, was born a baby, but not to stay a baby. He came to die on the cross. That's why he came. And at some point, we have to decide what we're going to do with Jesus. No decision about Jesus is a decision for eternity. And I know I'm speaking to the choir for the most part. But I talked to people this week about spiritual things. And some people are of the opinion, I'm a pretty good person. I've been a pretty good neighbor to my neighbors. I should be good to go. The Bible says we must be born again. The Bible says we got to deal with Jesus. We've got to ask ourselves, have I dealt with my sin by repenting of them and placing my faith in Christ? And I've told us this a lot of times, I shall say it once more. I don't want us to be confused about, I'm a pretty good person, I should make it. Or my membership at some church, I should be good to go. We have to address, what will I do with Jesus? And so, friends, this Christmas season, next week I will talk more about the Magi and the gifts. But this Christmas season, whether you're listening on Facebook Live or you're here with us this morning, I want to encourage us that have never made a decision to follow Jesus, do not delay. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Not only have I had conversations with people about spiritual matters this week, and we got this mentality and this argument and this rationale, I'm a pretty good person, but I've also done two more funerals this week. One of them was for a 19-year-old boy that was driving down the road of life, perfectly healthy, perfectly vibrant, one moment and the next moment gone to eternity. Friends, there's no guarantees about tomorrow. And if you haven't decided about Jesus Christ, if you haven't repented of sin, knowing we're all sinners that needs a Savior, and believed as the angels said to the shepherds, and they believed, this is the good news. He is the Messiah. He is the Christ. If you have never believed and embraced Him and received Him by faith, don't delay. You don't have any guarantees of tomorrow. And so while we sing this last song, I want you to ask yourself again, what have I done with Jesus? Have I acknowledged Him as Lord? Have I surrendered to Him completely? Am I following Jesus? And if you're not sure about that, I'll be glad to pray with you. Pastor Charles will gladly pray with you. Eternity depends on what you do with Jesus. Amen. Remember, for those of you that are going to stay for the program, we'd love to have you. There'll be some snacks in the fellowship hall. Program will be starting from our children in 30 minutes. Let's pray. Gracious and eternal God, thank you for the gift to humanity in Jesus Christ, your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for being willing to leave the splendor of heaven and come in humility to the earth, and not only to the earth as a baby, and not only as a baby laid in a manger, and then to die on the cross for our sin. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for this miraculous love extended to us. Help us, Heavenly Father, to receive the gift by faith, to receive Jesus Christ by faith, and to live for Him. Help us to walk in newness of life because we have surrendered completely to Him. Help us to be like the shepherds. Receive the gift, receive the message with joy, and walk with Jesus. I pray, Father, again, that you would watch over and direct and guide our young ones as they present to us in a half hour the Christmas story in music and song. We pray that this day and this season would be a blessing to many, and many would receive the gift. Comfort those that are hurting, I pray again, O Lord. Comfort and encourage, strengthen and heal. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.